Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Good morning, East Rock. What a joy to worship with you this morning on this Mother's Day. I'm so grateful. I'm Angela Cole. I'm typically at our Harrisonburg campus. But today, I'm blessed to be here with you all on Mother's Day. And since I traveled east this morning, I brought my all the things mama bag. And I'm going to show you, since we're talking about tools that we use, I brought some of the tools I use in my daily life, right? And a lot of these are mama's tools. And what better topic could we have this morning than service on Mother's Day? Because mamas are called to serve, right? We're called. We're blessed and honored and called to serve. So, now, I've already got one water bottle up here, but always need a water bottle, right? Always need one. I'm trying to drink more. All right. If you know me, you know I always need tissues. And I'm also a mama who's got to wipe a lot of noses and all those things. Here's my devotion. We need that. And as Pastor Jared's been reminded us last week, we need to be in God's Word. There's my Bible. Here's my phone. You know, I'd like to throw this thing in the river, but I think we need it. I'd be healthier for it. But there's also a clock on here because one of those tools is time. And then a girl needs her lipstick. I have my lipstick here. And the keys for all the places that I have to go in our week. And don't forget, we got to have our coffee cup, right? That's a special Angela coffee cup. It says, hey, y'all. And here, this is about all the cooking. I make sweet tea with this, but in my day, this was used for something else, wasn't it? Some of you know what I'm talking about. And here's some snacks. We always got to have a pouch and some gummies with us around my house. And a pen and a prayer journal, right? You guys have lots of these things too, right? Tools in your daily life. Oh, wait a minute. I have a debit card. Ivy let me borrow hers so I didn't have to stick it in my bag. She said, Mama, you know that's not real, right? I'm not going to spend your money, honey. I'm just going to use it as an example this morning. So here's the thing. We have all of these tools. You actually brought some with you this morning. So I'm going to wave at you, and I want you to wave back. Okay? You ready? Good morning. Good morning. Hey, you're doing pretty good. All right. And guess what tool you just used? Your hands. Right? Your hands. Also, I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to smile. Can you smile? Smile big. Some of you, that's the only smile you've been given yet today, huh? Right? Guess what? You just used the tool of your smile. God gave us that, right? All right, one more. We're going to do good morning again, and I want to hear your voices. Good morning. Good morning. There you go. The tool of your voice. The tool of your voice. Let us pray this morning. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to worship here with these sweet friends and family of mine. Thank you that we can call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I do pray that you would just touch and move in hearts and lives this morning on this tender, beautiful Mother's Day. And I pray today, Father God, that you would speak to us. This will be different for each of us and how you've made us and how you've equipped us. But Father God, I pray today that you would speak to us about how we can better serve you and those around us. Speak to our hearts individually, Lord, and we give you praise. Amen. So we hear the term serve the Lord around the church a lot, right? We toss that around. Oh, so-and-so's serving the Lord. We're going to go serve the Lord today. It's just kind of that buzzword that we use. But we see it early in Scripture in Joshua where he says, he's talking to the Israelites about forsaking their idols. Lay those things down. Serve the Lord faithfully. Choose him and follow him and live according to his word. So we have this scripture that helps us with that, that says, but as for me and my household, we will, right, serve the Lord. So let's look at a biblical definition of what in the world that even means. Serving the Lord signifies a deep commitment to God, marked by obedience, devotion, a desire to express love for him through actions and attitudes. That's sometimes the hardest, right? The attitude. It's about recognizing God's authority and responding with a life of love and service, both in personal behavior and in interactions with others. Have you ever had questions about serving? Where do I serve? What does that mean for me? What about fear in stepping out to serve? What about how do I even do that? Have you ever asked why? Why would I serve the Lord? Why do I need the tool of service in my faith tool belt? Maybe I'm taking this approach. I will tell you the term service is so saturated in God's word and is so big. Even in the NIV, it's mentioned 1,100 times, right? To me, that says it's a really big deal that we should focus on it, that the Lord wants to draw our attention to it. And maybe I take this approach of why, because I'm a mama and I get a lot of whys in my house, right? Not just from the four-year-old, from all of them. And sometimes it's a little more like, why? We may even feel that way about service. Why? So the Lord helps us with this in his word. I also had to chuckle this week as I thought about using this format of why, because I get the opportunity to work really closely with your pastor, and no one that I know likes a question better than Pastor Jared. If you know him, you know I'm telling you the truth this morning, so maybe this is just a way for me to bless him in asking the question, why? So, our first answer, we're going to dig into scripture, and I hope that these scriptures will give you answers, but please dig in and be hungry for the more in the God's word. But here, our first answer, it's in form of a question. God commands us or invites us? As I started pondering and looking at his word, I thought, Lord, do you command us to do this or are you inviting us in? And the answer is yes. The answer is that it's both. And in the beautiful nature of our Lord, he invites us and instructs us. Guys, he wants us to want to, but he also gives us commands for our very best. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all of your heart and your soul." See, this is Moses talking here. He's standing on the edge of the promised land and he's saying, listen, let's remember God's faithfulness. Here's some expectations for godly living and a call to obedience. And he wanted their days ahead to be different than their stubborn days behind, right? He wanted them to walk into this promised land serving and choosing the Lord. Colossians 3:23 to 24 says, whatever you do, what's your whatever this morning? Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance for the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. See, we're not working for that reward. That reward has already been given to us if we've chosen Jesus as our Savior, and we have the promise and hope of heaven. But this is our opportunity this morning and every day of our life to serve him as a result of that, right? The Greek word used here for heart is psyche, which can also be translated as soul or life. We need to give our whole soul and our whole life. This is Paul calling for a deep commitment to one's work, suggesting that it be done with enthusiasm and dedication. How are you doing in that? Some people would say, Angela, you don't know where I work, right? You don't know what I have to do every day. You don't know those people I have to work with. See, this perspective is transformative because it redefines the purpose and motivation behind our labor. It redefines it because Paul is speaking to a lot of folks in this time that were slaves and that were to report to a human master. By directing their efforts to the Lord, he elevates their work from mere obligation, from that mere clocking in and clocking out and hoping to get through the day, to worship. Right? When we change our mind about how we do it and our focus is on the Lord, it makes it worship. This principle also applies to all believers regardless of their occupation, whether you're a teacher, a doctor, a janitor, a stay-at-home mom, regardless of what you do, we are to do it with all of our hearts. It can be applied to our relationships, our responsibilities, and our routines. So whether we're serving our families, we're volunteering in the church, we're wherever we stand, it's about wherever we're planted. And this mindset, it fosters a fulfillment of joy as we recognize that our efforts are not in vain, but they're for a bigger purpose that is only defined by Jesus, right? It's not about just washing those dishes or teaching that child or changing that diaper. It all has bigger purpose because of him. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be real transparent this morning and tell you a place that I struggle to find joy. And that's grocery shopping. I mean, I don't know about it. Like, you have to come up with the list, which means you've had to come up with what you're going to feed your family. Does anybody struggle with that? Nobody will tell me what they want at my house, so I have to come up with that. And then you got to go to the store, and you got to get it off the shelf, and you got to put it in the buggy. Then you got to put it on the little checkout thing, and then you got to put it on the bags, and you got to put it in your buggy and back in your van, and then carry it in the house. And thank goodness I have a 16-year-old son who can do that part. Right? I'm very thankful for this new pickup model they have. That is a blessing. Like, you can just type it in and go pick it up. That's a blessing. But I was convicted, because when you know this scripture in your heart and God reminds you it is applied to everything, this is not a brag. This is not a brag at all. This is telling you that the Lord helped me. I began to realize I had an ugly attitude about grocery shopping. I mean, it was ugly. I didn't want to go. Sometimes I just didn't go. Then we were out of milk, right? And then I got an ugly attitude at my house because they need their milk. Here's the thing. The Lord prompted me. He said, why don't you thank me that you can get groceries? So now when I walk into the food line, people probably see me talking to myself, but I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to Jesus. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I get to show up here. Thank you, Lord, today that we can have groceries in this cart. Thank you, Lord, that I can take them home and feed my family. I praise you for that. And because of that, he can change our heart in it, and we can do all things, even grocery shop, to the glory of the Lord, right? All right. So number two, and Beth had already chosen this song. I love how the Lord works. I just love it. But the why, the answer to why, number two is, it is for our good and his glory. Does it amaze you that we get to do anything for the Lord's glory? He invites us in and we get to work for his glory. That overwhelms me. I'm humbled by that this morning. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another well. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it all with strength and energy that God supplies. Did you catch that? God supplies it. You don't have to do that on your own. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever. Amen. I want to remind you that here the Lord is saying to us, this reminds us that we don't have to do it all. He wants us to use those gifts that we have. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have to do some things we don't want to do, right? If Pastor Jared needed you to scrub the toilet, that may not be a spiritual gift, but you're willing to do it, right? Yes. But I will tell you, there are some things the Lord will never ask me to do, because he created me and he knows me. He's never going to ask me to audition for this worship team, right? Because you all would leave. You would leave, and that's not his plan. The second thing, this week I was reminded, a couple weeks ago, I was standing outside with a volunteer at the Harrisonburg campus waiting on a funeral meal, and he said, Angela, this hill needs to be mowed. I said, yeah, I need to work that out, but, ooh, that's going to take someone really special. Like, how do you mow that hill? I asked Jared, I was like, what's the degree of that hill? He said, steep. It's steep. And it is. And so this week I was looking out the window and there's that same gentleman and he is on the hill on a tractor. It's a special kind of tractor. I'm not exactly sure. But I need you to please forgive me for sharing this with you. But my armpits started to sweat. My heart started to race. I lost my breath. I was like, I don't think we should allow him to be out there. And the other Angela in the office, she said, don't worry. He's been doing it for years. He's got this. Did you see that? He saw a need and he showed up. And you know what? He was blessed by being on that tractor. Now, I wanted to go out there and slowly remove him carefully and walk him safely to lower ground. But he was blessed to be there. He was using his gifts and his talents, and he was probably worshiping, right? And then because he could do those things and I didn't have to do that thing or worry about coordinating it, I could be in the church building doing what I needed to do, right? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Oh, amen, amen. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So see, this is not about you all being our audience, everybody around you being your audience. It's about living your life in a way that reflects him, that no one could help but see it, right? And that's for our good. When we're up to those things, that's for our good. And then again, ultimately, for God's glory. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. Who needs to be reminded of that in the room this morning? Scott, you are God's masterpiece. That's right. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, he has planned good things for all of us. There's not an exception in the room. They're not just for Jared. They're not just, you know, just for Terry. They're not just for those folks that are serving right here, right now. They're for all of us. The phrase created in Christ Jesus for good works reminds us of the transformative power of Christ in us when we become his, right? Old things are passed away. We're a new creation and we're reborn with a purpose and capability to do good works. Again, all of us. So see, there's some other things that I'm going to share with you this morning that are benefits of deciding you're going to serve the Lord and others in your life. Serving allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. Again, 1 Corinthians 12 compares the church to a human body. Just like our bodies, we are made of many different parts and specific functions. The church is made up of people with different skills and abilities. All these pieces aren't very useful, but together we create something beautiful, right? That means you have a part. That means God created you with a unique gift that I don't have, and I can come alongside you, and then we can continue to connect. And then that kind of work glorifies the Lord and extends his kingdom, right? It expands it. And so this morning I would remind you that you don't have to do all the things. Sometimes that's one of the things that keep us from serving. You don't have to do all the things. You just have to do the thing Christ is asking you to do. I remember when I was a young mom with my two oldest, and I loved teaching Bible study. I loved it, and I was so humbled and thrilled that I got to do it, but I was tired. I was very tired, and I remember Pastor Margaret looking at me one day, and she said, Angela, there are seasons for things. You can do it again another time. It's okay to lay it down and be present at home. It's okay. Serving allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. If you've been obedient to the Lord, you know that comes with joy and peace. Serving helps us be more like Jesus. What that helps us to do is see through his lens and see others through his eyes and not our own. Serving surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus. There is nothing better or more fun than showing up with a group full of believers and serving. If you leave sad, we got to talk about it. Something else is wrong, right? Because it is good. And I'm telling you, you've got some folks around here. If you hang out with them for 5 or 10 minutes serving, you'll be different. You'll be different. And that's for our good, right? And ultimately, his glory. Serving increases our faith. We get to get out of our comfort zone, don't we? That doesn't mean God's going to put me on that mower, right? But we still get to get out of our comfort zone and allow God to use and move through us in our weakness and His strength. Serving allows us to experience God's presence in new ways. If you're wondering where He's at, if you need to experience Him, Pastor Jared has reminded us we need to be in His Word and we need to be talking to Him. But I will say, let's add showing up and serving. You will experience His presence. And serving is good for the soul. Studies have shown that volunteering is so good for the body, it can ease stress and depression. It's also the best antidote I know for loneliness. Right? Serving others can be the best distraction for what's going on in our worlds. And again, it can be for our good and for His glory. We make all sorts of rational explanations for not serving. I don't have time. I don't know what I would do. I don't have any special skills to contribute. Well, you remember these tools right here? These tools are not, I mean, other than God's Word, but these were, right? They're just tools. They're just tools. But we all have them. You guys this morning, you're reminded that you have a smile, that you have hands, you have feet, you have a heart, you have all of those things. So no longer can you say, I have nothing. What about they don't need me? That's not true this morning. The reality is, and this sounds like a cliche, but it's so true, and it's a good reminder to all of us that the Lord does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Right? God used men and women with similar doubts all through Scripture to change the course of our history. Moses, he would say, I cannot speak. And he led all of the Israelites to the promised land. And then we would say David, he was the youngest, which meant he was the most insignificant. Scripture tells us he was little and scrawny. And why did he become king? He was available to the Lord. Also, Paul, he used to kill Christians before he met the Lord. Right? You can't argue in this room that if these fellas can show up and be used the way they are, that you can't. So God doesn't just want to work through you. He wants to work in you. That, my friends, is the benefit of showing up and serving. Here's the other thing. Let's do this one more time. It's for our good and for me. Excitingly for God's glory. Excitingly for God's glory. All right, and last but certainly not least, actually the greatest answer to our why, Jesus did it. Jesus served. And if Jesus can serve, then that's good enough for me. He is our greatest example. He's been our greatest example in prayer and in holding on to Scripture. And then today, He is our greatest answer to the why of serving. We see Jesus throughout His earthly ministry, healing the sick, feeding the poor, basically every step the man took, he served. He served. So let's take a look at one of the most profound examples of how Jesus loves and wants us to do the same. Join me by looking at the screen here for John 13, 1 through 17.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
Wow. We have just seen Jesus with his disciples at the last meal before his arrest. He knew the hour had come, his public ministry was over, and within the next 24 hours, he would hang on a cross to give us life. But what do we find him doing? Loving his disciples to the very end. Now, if it were me, I would have been like, "Could I just have a break? I mean, like, I'm about to go to the cross for you." He didn't do that, y'all. He didn't do that. He continued to love and love fervently till the very, very end. See, in this culture, I show you this picture, and some of you are really bothered by feet anyway, so I'm sorry this morning. But we have to understand that Jesus was not washing feet of someone who had prepared for like this foot washing service and we're just going to go through the motions, but I really had a pedicure yesterday, right? He was washing the feet of those who wore sandals in the dusty streets. And let me tell you, the streets were not sanitary. Their sewage systems were not like ours, and their animals were everywhere. And this is most likely what those feet would have looked like. And they gathered in very close proximity to eat. So they sat at tables as low as coffee tables, and they would gather and recline. And so those feet were close during the meal. And it does make you question, okay, well, why didn't a servant meet them at the door and do this? There's not a clear answer to that, but one commentary I read said that maybe they had borrowed this room, they had been given this room by a landlord, and there was no servant available. I would say Jesus had a plan, right? Jesus had a plan. And so they would gather and eat, and typically they would wash their feet before, but during the meal, after it had started, Jesus got up to wash the disciples' feet. It makes me question, do I allow for that kind of interruption? Would I disrupt my meal to serve? He took off and laid aside his garment, girded himself with a towel, the towel being a tool of a servant, though still he held on to all authority and all knowledge, but he changed his posture to serve. What do we need to take off this morning and lay aside? What do we need to remove so we can serve God fully? And then there was Peter. "You'll never wash my feet, Lord. Wash my whole body then." And Jesus is saying, "Don't miss what I have for you, Peter." And this here is another whole concept, but are we willing to receive from the Lord? Are we willing to be served? Let's not miss this. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. As he was washing his feet, he already knew there would be forgiveness to give and there would be pain ahead. There would be need for restoration. We see the most beautiful example of Jesus taking on this tool that we all need to carry. He took off his cloak, signifying humility and a willingness to serve, and he lowered himself and took on the towel. He puts it around him, he kneels, and he does the job of the lowest of lowest servants. How does that speak to our hearts this morning? Will we let it? So, Angela, are you telling me that I need to walk around with a basin and a pitcher all the time and start washing feet? Well, I guess if you see some dirty feet and they need to be washed, go ahead. But I don't think that's exactly what the Lord's saying to us here. Now, many churches still use that, still use foot washing as a sacrament. But today, let's look at the tools he wants us to be equipped with through his example. I brought some of those tools. I have a few more things in my mama bag here. And these are the tools that Jesus took on that day that we can take and let be our example. He took on the towel of love. Jesus took on the towel of love that day. He loved his disciples and he kneeled down and washed their feet, even knowing that there would be betrayal and rejection. He took on the towel of humility. He kneeled as a servant and washed the dirty feet of those around him and those that he loved. And then he had taken on and encourages us to take on the towel of obedience. He did what God had led him to do. He came for the ultimate purpose of the cross, and he served until those very end moments and beyond. He took on obedience. Will we gird ourselves for service this morning? And as we do, we may even look at these tools that I brought this morning as different. If we will take them and apply the tools that Jesus gave us, humility and love and obedience, how can these tools be different? This may look incredibly different for each of us. It could be showing up and rocking a baby in the nursery. It may be taking a meal to a new mama or a sick neighbor. It may be doing the dishes for your wife. Guys, that's a hint for today. That's always a good idea. It may be slowing down and playing a game on the floor with your child or your grandchild. It may be a phone call that's way overdue. It may be trusting God to help you take the next step in your faith. It may be forgiveness. It may be a new lens for how you approach your work. And for goodness sake, it may just be closing the cabinets when you leave the kitchen, right? That for me is a gift. I want you to know that this morning. So it's not just the big things, right? We have opportunity to serve this morning, but whatever it is that you're all we do, let's be seeking him. And guess what? He will equip you and he will be your help. I think the greatest place to begin is in our homes. It's the most needed and often the hardest. But we have opportunity this morning to decide we can serve right here in this place. Now, Jared did not ask me to come do this message as some ploy to get these volunteer needs filled. It's an invitation, just as Jesus has invited us. We've made it easy for you this morning. You were handed a piece of paper when you came in, and there's a QR code on the screen. Have you been curious about serving? Have you thought, I'd love to do that, but... Well, we're making it easy for you this morning. We ask that you consider, and it may just be that you want more information. So you're welcome to fill out the paper and hand it to Beth or whoever's in the back when you leave, or put it in the offering box, or use the QR code, and someone will follow up with you. You were also handed a small washcloth on your way in, reminding us of the command that Jesus gave us in John 14:13. I need reminders all around me. I have to put things in front of me to remind me of his faithfulness and remind me to stay true to him. And I ask that you do this with this towel, right? It may go in the console of your car. Jared and I were saying earlier that it's really a good eyeglass washer. So if you want to use it for that, and every time you wipe your eyeglasses, you ask the Lord to help you and where you need to serve. However you choose to use it, let it be a reminder of what God has asked us this morning. Will I put on the towel today? Is there someone's feet in my life that I need to be willing to wash? As we close the service, I would encourage you to pray with me. As you take a look at that towel you've been given this morning, ask God if there's areas that you've been called to serve that you may have been avoiding. Are there moments and places you need to yield in and say, "Here I am, Lord"? Today we've been given a glimpse that we're invited. It is for our good and for His glory, and that Jesus did it. What now? Let us pray. Lord, I praise You this morning. I praise You for Your word. I'm so thankful. Thank You that we are not left on our own accord. Thank You that You invite us not only into service, but Lord, to walk in a life with You, and thank You for making it possible. This morning, Lord, help us to yield. In Your holy name.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.